Heavenly Father, thank you. We really do just want to get closer to you. And that's why we're here this morning. We're gathered together to be in your presence. And I just pray, Father God, that your words will come through me this morning. Amen. Well, first of all, let me just say thank you to everyone who's been praying for me. My back is healed. I'll say that. So praise God. God is good. Can you believe we're already halfway through January? Man, it's just, I can't believe how quick it's going. Anyway, we're glad you chose to be here this morning. In case you missed last week, my name is George, and I gave the message. And, well, you're stuck with me again. While Pastor Jim's on vacation, hope he's having a great time. This morning, we're learning about radical faith. This is the second of a two-part miniseries. In this miniseries, I'm defining radical faith as believing in God's possibilities, even in the face of what can seem impossible. Last week, we learned about the woman who had suffered for 12 years with chronic bleeding and how she was able to overcome. She was finally able to be freed from her suffering and be healed when she had the courage and the radical faith to challenge everything and reach out for a simple touch of Jesus' cloak. And she was healed. Jesus told her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." We learned last week that God is bigger than our problems. We need to seek him. Even when life seems to get in the way, we need to press even closer to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We learned three important things last week. Three things that we can take away from a story that happened a couple thousand years ago and apply to our lives today. Because the truths found in the Bible are timeless. First, we learned that Jesus responds to our faith. Second, we learn that Jesus is approachable in every circumstance. And third, we learn that Jesus has compassion on those who seek him. That was a very brief recap of last week's message. If you missed it, you can read the story in your Bible. You'll find it in Mark chapter 5. But don't read it now. I know it's exciting, but just wait till we're done. Anyway, like I said, this is part two of the series. This week, we're going to look at another time, a time when one man's life was changed forever because he believed in God's possibilities in the face of what seemed impossible. This morning, we're going to look at the second of these two incredible people, a man named Bartimaeus. We'll still be in the book of Mark, only this time we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We're going to be in chapter 10. If you need a Bible this morning to follow along, just raise your hand, and we'll make sure you get one so you can read along with us. Okay. This story is not only in Mark. You can also find it in Luke. It's in chapter 18. So feel free to write that down so you can read it later. And you can see how the two accounts compare. Remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels because they're similar in content and order of events. Last week, we learned that Mark was indeed the author of this book. He was an associate of Peter, and he preserved what Peter told him in written form. We also learned that this book was written between 55 and 59 AD, which means that this was only about 30 years after all of this actually happened. So it's not like it was far removed. So, okay, I love maps. Here's a map of the area at the time. Up here you can see Capernaum. That's where we learned about last week, where Jesus healed this woman and also raised the dead girl. This story takes place all the way down here just above the Dead Sea in the city of Jericho. Okay, so anyway, I have maps in the back of my Bible. Most of you guys might, but they're really cool. They help me. I love them. I like to see kind of where the stories take place throughout Jesus' ministry. Okay, so follow along with me in the book of Mark, chapter 10. It's right after the book of Matthew. Last week we stood. Can you guys stand with me this morning so we can show honor to God and his word while I read? Awesome. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You may be seated. Father God, again, we just want to thank you for the truths that we find in your word. And we just pray that you'll show us wisdom and guidance as we work through this together. Amen. You know, there's so much awesome stuff packed into this story. One of the first things we notice about the story is Bartimaeus simply asked for help. He didn't try to offer any reasons why he felt he deserved help or give any explanations for his plight. He simply said, "Have mercy on me." You may have also noticed in the story that Bartimaeus calls Jesus Son of David. And why was that? I mean, David lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. He could have just said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." You know, I think Bartimaeus was using this statement to say that he knew, that he believed that Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that said the Messiah would come from the line of David. He was affirming that he knew Jesus was the Messiah. Bartimaeus was not just taking a chance on some guy walking by who was rumored to have healing powers. He knew who Jesus was. We should also notice his persistence. Once he was told that it was Jesus walking by, he was not going to be silenced. He knew he had to make himself heard. He desperately wanted to get Jesus' attention. He knew that if he was to be healed, this was his chance. He was not going to just sit calmly at the side of the road and have Jesus walk by and not even get noticed. At first, many people nearby, they rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he'd have none of it. He continued even louder. He wanted to be heard. He was not about to let anyone keep him from being heard by the one who he believed could heal him and restore his sight. And it paid off. Jesus noticed. Jesus said, "Call him, bring him to me." And what does Bartimaeus do when they tell him that Jesus is calling him? He throws his cloak aside and goes to Jesus. You might be thinking, big deal, he threw his cloak aside, but it's hugely significant in the story because it shows what Bartimaeus was willing to give up just to be in the presence of Jesus. So this morning, I got all kinds of props. I got a stool, I got a cloak. So I brought this cloak. And so Bartimaeus would have been sitting on the side of the road, right? If you can stand up, I'm going to sit down. So here we go. I hope this works. Getting up's the hard part. So Bartimaeus would have been sitting like this. If you need to stand up and see me, that's okay. But he would have had this cloak draped across his lap, right? And the purpose of that was so that he could catch things that people threw in his lap, whether it was food or coins or, you know, whatever. Basically, just because he was a beggar, that's what he did, right? And what does it say? It says that he threw his cloak aside, right? Not like, let's package it up and set it over here. He just said, "I'm done with that." He threw it. He threw his cloak to the side because it didn't matter. In that moment, it didn't matter. It's very likely that everything he owned was sitting in his lap in that cloak. He just tossed it aside. The text says he threw it aside. I imagine he's not very careful in where he put it in that moment. He just knew he wanted to get to Jesus. All of his possessions, perhaps, just tossed aside. In that moment, they mattered none. And the reality of the time was probably that he was not the only beggar sitting on the roadside, and they likely had to be a bit opportunistic. So imagine what might have happened to his belongings had they just been cast onto the side of the road in front of the other beggars. Bartimaeus was willing to sacrifice everything to get to Jesus. Then Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus very plainly says, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now, I'm fairly certain that Jesus knew what Bartimaeus wanted. But it seems like Jesus hears, he wants to hear something more than just "have mercy on me." Perhaps he wanted Bartimaeus to tell him why he's calling out to him. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus could heal him, and had faith to act on his belief and say, I want to see. And he was healed. You know, a little side note to this story. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. It said that in the text. Timaeus means foul or defiled one. His whole life, Bartimaeus has been called by this name, which means son of the defiled one. And he's blind. It was thought by some in Old Testament times that blindness was not only a physical ailment, but may have also been a sort of punishment for sin, or maybe the sins of one's ancestors. One would think that at this point, it would have been fairly easy for Bartimaeus to just accept the hand that he was dealt. But instead, Bartimaeus wanted more. And he knew, he believed, that Jesus had the power to heal him and was willing to risk everything he had so that he might have his sight restored. And one of my favorite parts of this story is what Bartimaeus does once his sight is restored. He's just been healed, and Jesus says, go. Your faith has healed you. And what does Bartimaeus do? After not having had sight for, well, we're not really sure how long. The text implies it was a very long time. Some even say it was since birth. But after having missed out on being able to see so many things in his life, what does he do with his newly restored vision? He follows Jesus. He chose to follow Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He could have simply thanked Jesus and gone anywhere and seen anything. But he wanted to be with Jesus, and he chose to follow him along the road. Let's look at that for just a minute. All of the things that Bartimaeus could have done, all the things he could have seen, the sight of a flower, a friend's face for the first time, the sight of the dirt running through his fingers, maybe the sight of the roadside where he sat begging for so long. And we could go on and on. All the little things that most people would overlook, take for granted, he could have been so easily and understandably distracted by his new ability to see everything he'd been missing out on. And yet he chose to, again, set everything aside and follow after Jesus. It doesn't say he went back, grabbed his cloak and all of his stuff, and followed Jesus. It simply says he followed Jesus. The implication is he left everything behind and followed Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus. What can we learn from this interaction? There's a lot we can learn. Bartimaeus was a man whose biggest concern in life was just to survive, just to get by. I would imagine that there probably wasn't a lot of enjoyment or happiness, success, peace, or joy in his life. His main goal in life to this point was just survival. Until that one day, that one wonderful day, when his radical faith and his belief in Jesus' healing power made him desire more than just mere survival. Bartimaeus demonstrated his faith by his actions. Bartimaeus believed in God's possibilities, even in the face of what can seem impossible. He was persistent. He would not be silenced. The crowd around him, they didn't care about him. They didn't care if he was blind or if he had a chance to be healed. But Jesus heard him. And Jesus cared. Even in today's world, the crowd still tries to silence those who cry out to him. Don't let the crowd stop you from crying out when you need Jesus. We need to have faith to turn to Jesus. There's no better place to turn when you're in need of help. We also learn that God wants so much more for us than just mere survival. God wants us to thrive. God wants us to live abundant lives, lives filled with hope and peace and love and joy. And we say here at New Creation that we want to offer you help and hope in your faith journey. How about the hope found in living for God? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to have life and have it to the full. So how do we start to thrive? Well, we need to put our trust in God and release control. The world offers so many distractions and many ways to help you when you may be struggling. But the real solution, the real help, comes from the Father. Remember when I spoke a couple months ago, I talked about closed fists, right? If we can learn to open our fists and give over control to God, that's when we really start to trust Him. Clench your fists really tight this morning. Go ahead with me. This is what we do when we want to be in control. We hold on tight. We hold on tight because we're afraid to let go. Well, just open those fists. Open your hands. Doesn't that feel better? That's what we learned about tithing, right? We open our hands and our hearts to God. We place our trust in Him. We're talking about the same concept here. God wants us to thrive, and He says, put your trust in me. It's about letting go of self, letting go of that control, and really trusting God. In the New Living Translation of the Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. I want to experience God's peace, don't you? Peace beyond what we can understand. And His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ. Experience God's peace by placing our trust in Him. God's peace. So what can we take away from this story of Bartimaeus and the story of the bleeding woman that we learned about last week? Perhaps this: on some level, at one time or another, we all need healing. It can be spiritual, it can be emotional, it can be physical. We all need healing. Jesus can heal us. But we need to come to Him, put our trust in Him. Right? We need to open those fists. You might be thinking, I'm pretty messy. There's a lot of stuff packed in these fists. But guess what? If we're honest, we're all a little bit messy. None of us have arrived yet. But God can and will take your mess and my mess and turn it into His message. Sometimes I think we hold back. I think we can be afraid to go to God with our problems. Don't be afraid. Remember, God is bigger than our problems. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to tell Him what we need. Sometimes when I pray, I'll be honest, I say things like, oh, bless this person or help that person. You know, but what if I was more specific? What would happen if I said, you know, this person needs a job, or this person needs to be healed of a certain illness? That would be okay, right? It's okay to ask for specific things when we pray. God can handle it. Even though He knows what we need, He still wants us to lean on Him and go to Him in prayer. And just because He may not answer our prayer right away, it doesn't mean we should stop asking. We can be persistent like Bartimaeus was. He was going to be heard. He would not be silenced. He believed. He had radical faith. And Jesus responded. Jesus responded. And we have a God who loves us and is there for us. And with God, all things are possible. People get healed, lives get restored, the lost are saved, all through God's divine power. Amen? Believing in God's possibilities, even in the face of what can seem impossible. Radical faith. There's a quote that I found, and I couldn't find who actually said it first. I like to give credit where credit is due, but I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, I really like it. I think it speaks to what we're talking about today. The quote is this: to see beyond the present is wisdom. To see beyond the possible is faith. Isn't that cool? So basically, to believe in the one who can make the impossible possible is faith. And sometimes things seem so impossible that it takes radical faith to see beyond the impossible. Go to God. Trust Him to make the impossible happen. It's time to thrive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We just want to thank you again for being with us this morning. And we pray that you'll continue to be in our lives. And like Mike said earlier, we just enjoy the opportunity to hang out with you, right? And we can hang out with you every day, every day. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity for us to grow together in you. We thank you for your grace, for your wisdom. We thank you that you love us and that you want us to thrive and live abundant lives filled with peace beyond what we can understand. Thank you again, Father, for being here with us this morning. Bless us as we go throughout this week and bring us all here again together safely next week. Amen.